Up past the Daphne exit. It is 8:25 and 43 degrees downtown. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. Looking pretty in pink today. Good morning, Mayor.
Thank you, Lori. Good morning.
I know you've been busy. We had almost four pages on the city council agenda, but I'm thinking a lot of it was budgeted purchases. How did it go last night?
Good. It went well. Budgeted items, but also, you know, we had a couple public hearings, so those take a little bit of time, but overall I thought it went well.
What did you want to mention in your report of the mayor?
In my report of the mayor, I talked about State of the City and how well that I thought it went,
and
how much I appreciate the, you know, the staff and all their efforts in putting that together, and the city council members for being there, and just for the citizens who came out. I think it's great to be able to give them that one-on-one time with some of the department heads to be able to ask some of the questions that they may not get to, you know, ask all the time don't call or see them regularly. So I thought it was a great event and really well attended.
It was. You also did a brief slideshow, which is part of the formal state of the city, to let us know how we're doing financially and otherwise.
Right.
What would you like to share from that?
Well, I don't have those notes right here in front of me. I'll try to do that from memory. I really just covered a lot of what we talked about was projects that we've done, what's upcoming, and that presentation is available online if you go to our website, and right there at the top of the page, on the home page, there's a bar that you can download that and download the financial information. One thing I did want to share, and this is a direct result of the employees, is, you know, we obviously, when you have close to 400 employees, you have accidents in a city. And in 2019, we spent $400,000, just over $400,000 on accidents. We had 41 accidents in the city that cost us that much money. In 2020, we had 38 accidents that cost us right at $250,000. And then in 2021, we had 15 accidents that cost us $98,000.
Wow.
So that's $300,000 is a huge savings.
And was that because of the new newer safety director position and safety classes?
Right. We have a safety officer that we had hired, and he had been doing great things. And again, just letting the employees know that safety is a priority for the leadership and how it impacts our bottom line and how it can impact your budget and buying new trucks and being able to give employee pay raises and those things, because that, you know, directly impacts your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. It does. Well, that sounds great. Speaking of the cost of trucks, we've got a new garbage truck and several pickup trucks that were budgeted and are being line-by-line approval. Jack mentioned yesterday, some people ask him, well, why, if it's in the budget, why do you go and vote on each item anyway? But that's just a double check to make sure it's still needed, et cetera, I guess. I'm not sure how that works.
It's not done that way in every municipality. That's okay. How our council has chosen to do that process.
Okay.
A lot of times, if it's in your budget and it's not over the budgeted amount, a lot of people will go ahead and allow staff to approve that purchase. That's not our council's wishes.
Okay. All right. Anything on the work session before we move back to the meeting?
Things on the work session. One thing that we talked about was we have a couple films that'll be coming to town in the next several weeks to film. They are going to be using Bass Hampton, who was actually, I told him last night, I said he's kind of how we cut our teeth on filming. Was Bass was one of the first folks who came to town to do some filming, and is always a good steward for Fairhope and always represents that industry well. But they're going to be filming a project called Jesus Revolution. It's a Christian-based film, and they're going to be using the K-1 Center, a couple classrooms in there that will be set up like a military academy, and also the North Beach Park. They'll be setting up a scene down there. So, you know, they have probably about 4 or 5 days worth of filming in town. They're also filming in California and other places. So, you know, that will take place in early March.
Does the city generate revenue from that?
We do. They are required to do a film permit that's anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. If there are park rental fees associated with areas that they're using, they have to pay those, street closing fees, those kind of things. And they also have to put up a $5,000 security deposit in case there's any damage.
Okay.
And they have to have certain insurance requirements and everything.
Okay. And more than one film, possibly, you were saying?
There's possibly a couple more that will be presenting in the next several months. So, yeah,
okay.
Real excited about that.
Very good.
The other thing we talked about was the water and sewer projects. There's four water and sewer projects that we're looking at that we're going to be applying for the American Rescue Plan money, or ARPA money, that's been coming down through the state. There's actually over $700 million that will be coming to the state in the next 5 years for these projects. So the first deadline for those, they're being administered by ADEM, and the first deadline for that is June 1st. So we really wanted to make sure we got our projects in. Two of them we already had approved engineering in the budget from this past year, but two of them we did not have engineering set up in the budget. So we did talk to the council in the work session last night about moving forward with that engineering, because the grants will pay for the pre-engineering, but you have to have shovel-ready projects. So we need to be able to have those, you know, ready when the money becomes available. So mm-hmm. we're excited about that, and projects that we needed to do, and if we can get them for 50 cents on the dollar, it's certainly something we need to look at.
Certainly. And were you pleased when you saw the pavement? Speaking of water and sewer, the Church Street infrastructure project is coming right along.
It is coming along. I mean, obviously, this is temporary for right now. We are buttoning mm-hmm. things up by the end, close of business tomorrow, to get ready for Mardi Gras and for arts and crafts. People are going to see a few things. They're going to be like, well, that doesn't look right. Just know this is temporary until we can get in. Some of the manholes are sticking up further than they need to be. We know that. But that's going to be, you know, taken care of when the project is finished. But, yeah, we're real excited about that. Some of the painting, you know, they're not going to see. People have complained about that we don't have painting down yet, like crosswalks and parking spaces and that kind of stuff. But again, this is temporary until the project is finished and we move through the intersection. So be patient. We're trying to button up so we can make sure these businesses have the benefit of Mardi Gras and arts and crafts, make sure that our community is nice and tidy and ready for all the visitors that we'll see in town. So, you know, we're just trying to, you know, work a really good schedule to make sure we're able to accommodate those things.
Yes. Now, is this pavement here on North Church, is it going to have to be torn back up? Or?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Good.
Okay. No. They'll just come back in with a better surface.
And finish.
Yeah,
okay. Because right now it will be Mardi Gras parade float ready.
It will be,
and
yes.
then it will be pedestrian friendly for the Arts and Crafts Festival.
Correct.
And then everything picks
Correct.
Up as this project goes all the way to Fells Avenue.
It does. And we hope it'll start moving quicker. We've said that before. You know, the lines get a little bit smaller the further you move away from the treatment plant. Again, we never know what we're going to find when we open up the streets. But when you start digging up those streets, you never know what kind of lines you're going to find, or drain boxes or whatever. But we hope that the project will move a little bit quicker on the other end of town.
And every water, sewer,
gas, and stormwater mm-hmm. are all involved.
Okay. All new pipes and replacements.
Correct.
And
Correct.
It's been fascinating to watch.
It has been.
As I've said before, two public hearings that mm-hmm. took up some time. Amending the central business district for rooftop terraces. There was a huge in-depth discussion a few months ago about that, and then some tweaking to be done.
Right. And they actually did not open that public hearing last night. They did they did introduce it, and they took some comments from the council, but they did not do the public hearing because we have to re-advertise that, the public hearing, because there were some significant changes that were made last time mm-hmm. To the ordinance when all that discussion happened. So that will, or to that amendment, so we will hear that on March 28th.
Okay. And the next one was concerning residential accessory structures amending a zoning ordinance. What about that?
Right. This is really, this was from the Board of Adjustments. And again, it's going to lay over, but the amendment will. But this is about mainly historic, those kind of one-story cottages that you see, and people want to come in and build an addition on that's higher than the roof line. This will give them some ability to build a little bit higher. The illustration that they showed last night is really helpful for people who don't understand that. So I would, if you want to read the whole amendment and you really want to understand it, I would suggest that you call planning and get a copy of that. But it's really in an effort to save some of those historic homes where people want to add on. There was not the ability to build higher than the roof line, but this does give them the ability to build a little bit higher. So I think people will appreciate that opportunity and will be able to, if you can visualize it, it makes it a little bit more easy to understand.
Okay. All right. 11 and 12, mm-hmm. was this increasing water and sewer connection fees mm-hmm. for contractors?
Mm-hmm. So really that is a lot of housekeeping. There are some of the fees that increase, some of them actually, and a lot of them actually reduced, to be honest. But
that's yeah. a bit strange.
Matter of fact, Councilman Burrell said he needed to call you and clarify that, because he said yesterday, he said the assumption was that everything was going up. There are some of them that went up, but some of them did come down. The way that the ordinance previously read, it was very hard for people to calculate, because it was like, you get the square root of the, you know, dimension of the lot. I mean, it was just kind of convoluted how it was all worded. So this gives very, you know, specific, concise information, something we can put on our website, something if you call one of the operators down at the warehouse, they can tell you immediately what a 3/4-inch meter is, what a tap fee is. So really excited about that. But one thing that did take place with the sewer that I wanted to mention, which is really important to note, is that now all those fees, because a system development charge, which is how we're kind of renaming that, is your investment into the sewer system. So you and I, who've lived here for a long time, have been paying into that for a while, you know, because we've lived here. New people who come into town, this is their investment into our system. So that's kind of the way you have to look at it. But they did vote last night as part of the sewer ordinance, is that that will go straight to reserves for capital improvements. So right now that's being split 50-50 for operations and to the reserves. It will all go to the reserves. So that's going to be a big deal for us to be able to put that money there.
And that won't take away from the utilities itself,
right?
And
no,
their operating
no,
budget by no. putting it all in reserve.
It will. I mean, I brought it up last night. I mean, obviously, we've already done our budget. Some of that does go into the operating, but we decided to go ahead. The council, you know, felt strongly about doing that, so we passed the ordinance, or they passed that. And then what they said was, if we have to come back and ask for amendment to the budget to be able to include some operating fees from the reserves, we can for this year, but then next year we can budget accordingly.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you want to mention on last night's agenda?
Let's see.
I was mentioning we're getting a new garbage truck, which is good, because we had a little delay with garbage service. So
need that. To be honest, so we have two trucks that are going to be coming in this week, but trash and garbage, I believe, or maybe just trash, but trash and garbage. This is an 18-month window, so we won't see this truck till 2024.
You were saying how the supply is,
that's why we
so
went ahead
delayed.
And approved it.
Okay.
Richard Johnson presented that at the last meeting, and so yes, we are. Again, the supply chain is just really wreaking havoc with everybody's plans. So we went ahead and approved that, knowing that in 2024, hopefully maybe the end of 2023, we'll see that truck.
Number 29. I like to point out the big numbers. Procurement of a McWain pipe for water main extension, $433,000. Tell us about that.
So last council meeting, there was a three-year contract with W.R. Mitchell to be able to, I think it's W.R. Mitchell, the Mitchells, who have our water sewer contract. They're a contractor that comes in and does some work. But there was a three-year contract. It was supposed to be $250,000 per year, and they had not used that allotment in year one and year two. So this year three, they came back and asked for $500,000.
Okay.
That's the work that's being done. This is the pipe for that work. So this is the ductile iron pipe that will be going in at St. Michael's Way to feed all those developments out there in that area.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that contract last time. I didn't realize it was one and the same. Very good. Our appointment to the library board.
That was actually pulled.
Okay.
It was pulled, and not for any reason. I'm sure, I don't know Ms. Langham, or at least I might. I don't know that I do know her, but the library board just had not voted on that, so it moved forward before they had a chance to vote. I don't see any problem with it, so.
We have comprehensive plan neighborhood meetings coming up today and tomorrow.
We want to
mention?
Yes, I'd be happy
how that process is going.
It's going well. It's going really well. One, you know, if you go to our Facebook page, there is information there from those meetings that tells things that people like about Fairhope, what they'd like to see changed. You'll be able to see all those results, which are really exciting to be able to. To be able to see. And the other thing is, I just want to make sure I've given you the right dates on those. That's why I'm checking my calendar while I'm sitting here talking to make sure I have them correct. So the meetings tonight, there will be join us at 6 o'clock Tuesday at the library.
That's tonight.
That's tonight, right? And then 10 a.m. Wednesday at the Fairhope Rec Center. And then we're also going to be doing a virtual meeting option. Will be available at 7 p.m. on Wednesday on the YouTube and on Facebook. And you can send questions ahead of time to compplan@fairhopeal.gov. We also tentatively are scheduling a meeting. We haven't confirmed the date yet, but we think it's going to be March 6th at Fairhope Brewing to try to attract some of the younger crowd that we're not necessarily seeing, kind of that probably 25 to 35 or 20 to 40 demographic that we're not seeing at some of these meetings, trying to get those folks to participate. But if you have not filled out a survey, again, we keep saying this is a citizen-driven plan. We want you to fill out that survey. Please go to planfairhope.com, and that survey is there, and you can do it online.
Yeah, we've done it. Mark and I took it online as well, on the air to help people out. Planfairhope.com.
That's right.
All right. Today is an important vote for folks that are in the county concerning whether they want to be zoned or not.
That's correct.
And how will that outcome, if let's just presume it passes, how does that affect the city of Fairhope?
It really, you know, we're in favor of zoning districts, because what we find quite often in most of the chatter that you hear, Lori, is from people who are outside our city limits. Obviously, we have a moratorium now, so people can no longer, you know, present developments in that area outside the city limits. But that's most often where people are complaining about apartments, or somebody came in and put a pig farm next to my house, or they're building, you know, whatever it might be, a cow pasture. Well, zoning stops that. Zoning will put those rules in place that will allow that, and people will have to follow those rules. So what happens is they do the vote, and then they will and then there's I think it's a 90 or maybe 6 month period where everything halts in that area. It's almost like a moratorium until zoning is decided, and the citizens are part of that process, and the county. They'll work together to come up with that zoning. So whether you're going to annex into the city of Fairhope and follow our zoning, our rules and regulations, or you're going to be in the county and you follow their rules and regulations with zoning, we're in favor of that. We want it. It helps us too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the polls are open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. for those in Fairhope's Planning District Number 8, Baldwin County, I should say, Morris Hill Church, South Greeno Road, and for those in District 37, Three Circle Church on Highway 104. That vote is today, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. What would you like to mention? I have not thought to ask.
Well,
Mayor?
So I just want to make sure people know what's going on this weekend. Obviously, we have Mardi Gras. Really excited about having those activities back and as normal as possible. We are closing the streets at 2 o'clock on Saturday. I'm urging you to tell your family and friends if they are in town and they're coming to the MMOR parade. Uh-huh. That parade route closes at 2 p.m. for the parade at 3. It will stay closed throughout the day. So everybody needs to take note of that. We are adding some additional signage at the corners on barricades, because the last thing we want to do is tow people. But people need to pay attention to the signs and pay attention to the fact that we are, you know, going to be closing some streets.
Yes. Now, I do see the parade route for the nighttime parades. I'm not sure if the dog parade is included in the city's announcement or not. It doesn't follow the same
route. The MMOR parade, I'll make sure they can send that to you too, Lori. I'm not sure it's listed on there. But that parade starts on Morphe, right there at the community park.
Right.
That's where they do their registration. Mm-hmm. So the park will have dogs in it all that morning. They head east on Morphe. They're going to take a left back on Section to Fairhope Avenue. They'll take a left on Fairhope Avenue. I'm hoping I'm telling you this right. Take a left on Fairhope Avenue, and then on Section. No, take a left on Fairhope, on Fairhope Avenue.
Morphe to Section
to Fairhope Avenue, and then they go down and then come back up to, then they'll hit Church Street and then go back up to Morphe.
Right, okay, yep. So they'll come back to Church.
It's
okay.
Really a big square.
It is
a big square.
Same thing it's been.
The other thing people will notice is we did get a grant for barricades. And so you'll notice a lot more of the parade route will have barricades.
Yeah, and the orange plastic ones.
We ask people to please, note those barricades. Do not move them if you see them across the street or see something closed. People are really bad in Fairhope about, you know, getting out and moving those barricades. Don't do that. There's going to be very few spaces that will be cabled. So we're hoping to get yet another grant this year that will allow us to, do the whole parade route and barricades, but that's for your safety, for the safety of the, you know, the floats. So just be sure to, you know, adhere to the rules of the road that day and make sure you're honoring those barricades.
The street closure at 2, mm-hmm. will that be for the nighttime KOER parade too? I mean, mm-hmm. everything will close.
That parade route area will close at 2 p.m. and will not reopen.
The dog parade.
Correct.
And then what about the night parade?
And then at 5 o'clock, everything else closes down.
Okay, so we're mm-hmm. so we can still get into the parking garage
mm-hmm,
or other areas before 5.
Right. And a lot of people just park on the perimeter, like at the yeah. elementary school mm-hmm. or different places, and just kind of walk in. To be honest, that's probably the best
yeah,
thing to do.
Certainly.
But just know to bring your patience with you. Don't leave your road rage at home.
That's
and
right.
Enjoy the parade and enjoy, you know, just a great weekend in Fairhope. The weather is going to be Chamber of Commerce weather from what we're seeing.
Perfect.
And just really excited. I think it's going to be a record crowd this year.
I think so. Thank you so much, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, joining us here on Community Contact the second and fourth Tuesday following the Fairhope City Council meetings, the second and fourth Monday nights. We appreciate it. And happy Mardi Gras.
Thank you, Lori.
We are going to be open broadcasting all of the nighttime parades. If you'd like to come by, we're inviting folks. You can get out of the weather if there is any inclement weather. Have a seat. You're saying, nope, the weather's perfect.
The weather's going to be perfect.
I'm so thrilled.
Yes.
That's great. Thank you so much. If you missed part